Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us on another episode of Family Matters with Kenny and Quadrilin, and this is one of your hosts, Quadrilin, and I have my husband.
Hello, everybody. This is Kenny.
And again, thank you for listening in on tonight. If you would like to join in on the conversation, please feel free to give us a call at 657-383-1571. Again, that is 657-383-1571. I'm going to go ahead and start opening up the lines on tonight. Adriana, are you there?
I am. Good evening.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Good, good, good. Well, thank you for calling in on tonight. And you already know
thank
your line will
you.
Be open.
Yes, ma'am.
And you are our first and only caller.
Okay, well, you know, the crew is with me, so we all here.
Okay, well, hello, everyone.
You said hello. Okay.
Well, we have been opening up our shows with a news story, and so today I just wanted to talk about this with my four-year-old. He was looking at the news today, and he actually was telling me about it. But a kid in Texas, he saw a rattlesnake in the toilet, and then when they went to remove the rattlesnake, there were 23 more, and this has made national news. So I just want to tell everybody before you sit down, make sure you check, because that's crazy. Then they were rattlesnakes, so that's crazy. I mean, yeah, that's scary, really scary. All right, well, let's get into the topic. You have anything to say, Beth? Okay. The family business. Okay, well, many families live by the rule that what goes on in the house stays in the house. Although this can be beneficial at times, when does it start to become a disadvantage to the family unit? What are the exceptions to the rule? Should the rule still apply when children become adults? And it's Friday, February the 3rd, 2016 at 8 p.m., and we will be discussing this topic on tonight. I'm going to go ahead and open up the line for our other callers. Pastor Michelle, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am here. How are you, Pastor Quasi and Pastor Kenny?
Doing
great.
Good.
How are you, Pastor?
That's great.
Mariah's with us. She said hi.
Hi, sweet baby. Are you being wonderful like the child you are? Great.
I'm glad you asked that and then you answered it.
I did, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, she's hanging out with us on tonight. The boys are gone. So she's gonna be helping us with the show. Hey, Mish, are you there?
Wow. Hey, Pastor, how are you?
Mariah said, hey, Mish.
Hi, Mariah. Oh, my girl, Mariah, hi.
So, yes, she's going to be helping us with the show. And I'm sorry, Pastor Michelle, I forgot to say, you know, my usual, your line is open, but your line is open too, Mish. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to, you know, get in on the topic. I put my glasses on to look at this screen, y'all. Okay, so what the family business, what goes on in the house stays in the house. I know many of us grew up that way. Some of us still have it that way. So what do you guys think about that? What goes on in the house stays in the house.
You're right, Pastor Quadrilla. We grew up that way. I agree with it. If there is no abuse or molestation and things like that, that becomes very different. But my parents, it wasn't that we did anything so extraordinary, but if they discussed their personal business around us children, we were not to repeat it. And that's just what it was.
That was with me, too. What about you? Anybody else, Mish? What you got to say about it?
We grew up that way also. And I don't think there's any disadvantages to it, like Pastor Michelle has said. If there, besides abuse or neglect or anything or molestation, you know, back in our day, adults used to have all types of conversations in front of us, and it was none of anybody else's business for us to go out and say what we heard. Because when we were kids, we really didn't know what they were talking about, number one. And two, if you did do that, then you don't know what they're talking about, and then you've been told the story all backwards. So I definitely agree, and I even do my children like that now.
Right.
Do you have something?
Okay. We do too, to a certain extent. And I guess, do you guys feel like, okay, like, I think everyone pretty much agrees. I think, well, we would agree that in a case of child abuse, you know, molestation or something like that, then that would be considered the exception. But back when we were growing up, you know, that wasn't even the exception then in the generations before. Like, that wasn't the exception. If it happened, you don't tell anybody what's going on in the house. That ain't nobody's business, and we'll deal with it in the house. So now I think it probably has changed a little with you know, some of us. Do you guys think that because it was like that before, that has caused, you know, adults that may have some issues now because they were not allowed to talk about those secrets? Because if it happened in the family, you know, if you were abused by whoever, then that happened in the family. It happened in the family, we take care of it in the family. Or better yet, you don't talk about it at all.
Absolutely, that's what happened. And I do think, Pastor Quadrilla, that caused a lot of damage to where it's to me, it creates the generational curse. And so if it happens to you and then your child, I think I think it's very wrong because it teaches people not to deal with their problems. And so then they tell their children, well, I done been through it, so you'll be okay. This is nothing new. and things mm-hmm. like that. You know, this has been going on for generations. But just because it's been going on for generations doesn't make it right. And so what happens is it becomes a generational curse that's never broken because it's never spoken about. And I totally disagree with that. Totally.
Right. I completely agree with what you just said. Hey, Faye, how are you?
Hello. How's everyone tonight?
We're doing good. Doing good. Good to have you on, and you know your line will be open.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Doe, how are you?
All right, how y'all doing?
Doing good. Mariah said, hey, Bo. That's Uncle Doe.
Bo don't get on Mariah's nerves. I say he don't get on Mariah's nerves.
You know what, Faye, you know what? She's something else. She is something else. I wasn't doing them, but trying to give her a kiss, and she was telling me I was getting on her nerves. That was rude. That was just real rude. But that's Mariah. Look, I guess you get it from me. We have one more caller. Hey, Keto. Keto, are you there? Okay. Well, his line is open.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Now, there were times when the kids went out to say nothing when it was considered beneficial. And those times were, you know, when you had neighbors that, you know, were like super duper nosy and trying to keep up with what's going on with their neighbors around them. You know, I know one in my neighborhood, my dad and this guy, like across the street, they used to always, it seemed like they always competed to see who can have like the nicest car, who can cut the grass the best. You know, it was just craziness. You know what I'm saying? So, I know one day my dad came home with a car. Then, you know, a couple months later, the dude come with a car, and it's different. And they both show the cars out. They out there cleaning them, you know, tripping out, whatever. Then, you know, a year or two down the line, you know, he'll go get a car. And my dad seemed like he was like, yo, so he got a new car. Let me go get a new car. I mean, this was time where it was, to me, I thought it was beneficial because I used to love just tripping out. Just be like, man, these guys are really tripping out. Like, they grown men, and they sitting around here trying to compete with one another. It used to be funny. But the disadvantage would be definitely, you know, when there's those dark moments, you know. And it does, as Pastor Michelle says, create generational curse, because there are times where there are kids that have been molested, you know, either by their dad, their mom, or a relative of the family. And then, you know, in the event of that molestation, or in the event of that, the little girl, she becomes pregnant. So, you know, there were families that were like, you know what, you don't go out here and you don't tell nobody nothing. That's none of nobody's business, you know. And then they'll do everything in their power to try to keep people from finding out, because they didn't want to tarnish the image of their family's name. But in the process of trying to protect their family's name, they neglected to protect the image of the kid and the child's, you know, emotional well-being, due to the fact of a molestation that caused the pregnancy. And this right here, just trying to keep the family name right. And, you know, y'all know we see shows like this all the time, i.e., The Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful, As the World Turns, you know, that our parents grew up watching. Well, you know, you had these rich families or these prestigious families that had secrets, dark secrets they didn't want nobody to know because they didn't want to tarnish the image. And then yet the kid grows up, or the kids grow up, and they're broken. And so you got this cycle of kids being broken. You have young ladies that are broken because, you know, mom and dad was more concerned about the family's name instead of the child's well-being. And then you even have the point where, again, you know, kids grow up and they're broken and then they leave the homes and then finally they get out and then they've had this stuff bottled up for years and then it leads to a life of brokenness where, you know, they might indulge in crime, they might indulge in you know, all kinds of dark things that come along with seeing that they were exposed to that they shouldn't have been exposed to. So yeah, I mean that definitely is not good, and that's definitely the disadvantage to family. So you know, when there's things that go on in a household that are how can I put it, bad. I'm gonna just say it like that, just bad that happens. The kid should be brave enough and to be able to go outside of the house and share it, especially if somebody's being, you know, raped, molested, things of that nature.
And we have a couple more callers on the line. Tyra, are you there?
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You guys, hey, Tyra gave me this topic. This was her idea.
Amen.
So you know, we'll be looking for you to step in at any time.
Oh, my.
Hey, Lily.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good, good. Well, your line is open. Thank you for calling in. And for those of you who are, you know, just joining us, we're talking about the family business. What goes on in the house stays in the house. You know, and we were just discussing, first of all, we started off discussing about how we all feel about that, you know, how we feel about that, and then we started talking about the disadvantages of it. So what do you guys, some advantages have also been mentioned. What do you guys think about it, the family business? What goes on in the house stays in the house.
Well, I'm going to say that, I'm going to say, you know, because I heard it growing up, you know what I'm saying, what goes on in this house stays in this house. And my parents really weren't, like, just so big on it, you know, like, don't tell nobody this. But you kind of, you know, I grew up kind of knowing what I could share and what I could not share, or it wasn't good to share, you know. If it was something that affected me where I needed help, you know what I'm saying, older, I found out it was okay to get help. And it wasn't like that my parents just didn't say, you know what I'm saying, you know, don't tell anybody. But it's just certain things, you know, that I did experience that I found out, hey, it's okay to talk. It's okay to talk about. And then, you know, some things, you know, it hadn't affected me to that point where I need to share. And it still is my family business. No one does know, and it's okay. It's between my family and I, and you know what I'm saying, it's not like so negative, you know, or unhealthy. But there were some things that we experienced that, you know, that we just kind of, you know, kept close to heart, you know, and we learned from it. But that's kind of my opinion. You know, it can really damage us, especially African American family. But it's in every culture. But being African American, that's what I heard. Being black, that's what I heard a lot. You know, with my other family members, you know, and those people are not healthy. My cousins and things like that, they're not. They're struggling to this day, and they're older than me. Because they didn't get help.
That's really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? What goes on in the house stays in the house.
I think that's a good subject.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. I think it's a good subject, though. Because I grew up being told that what goes on here stays here. And we got in a lot of trouble if you said anything that went on in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And to a point, I understand it, because
right.
I think people tell too much of what goes on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then yet, sometimes it doesn't allow you to know what you can share.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think it was a good lesson for me because I just watch and observe. And sometimes there's things that I've talked about with people. Then you find out, oh, the whole world knows, you know. So it just makes me go back to that thing where, you know, my parents would always say, what goes on here needs to stay here. And sometimes I go back to that with a lot of things, and I struggle with what actually to open up and say to people because people don't understand that line of, oh, well, this might be real personal for them. Well, I mean, they do. They know that this is a real personal issue because I mean, you can break down crying to them, and they'd still run and tell somebody. But I think it's a good thing to talk about, and I don't know. It's hard who to know to open up and actually tell those things to because it's hard to hold everything in. Because I get to those points where, you know, I'm holding everything in and then I explode. I'll get my moment where all of a sudden I'll explode. Sometimes it's at the wrong person, but it's because I've held everything in.
I agree.
Unhealthy. You know, I'm actually sitting here listening, and I do agree to kind of disagree because I just feel that when I hear, just in some cases, there are parents that will tell you, you know, what goes on in here stays in here, but it's depending on how, you know, to the depth of that situation. That can, if something happens, that you go out and get your child that help and you know, to take care of them. But I think I used to hear that a lot too, but it was mainly for other people in your business, you know, other people.
Right.
You know, and I'm like that right now with my girl, you know. But if something drastic happened to them, I want to know, you know, I want to understand it and I want to know, I want them to sit down and talk to me about it. And I know where I can go and get help. Help, it just depends on what the situation is.
Amen.
Okay.
I'm great.
Doe, were you trying to say something?
Well, basically what I was going to say was what everybody else saying. I mean, we do, you know, we got us a close-knit family. But there are certain things that we sit down and tell the kids. We like, man, you know, what's going on here, stay here. There are some situations where you do have to go out and get some outside help. But then sometimes the situation might be not as serious as other people would look at it. So that's why sometimes we have to, you know, we double back and tell them, hey, man, you know, it's just certain things you tell, you don't, you know, what go on here, stay in here. Because the thing about it is, what you may forgive, other people won't.
Preach.
You know what I'm saying? So it may be some situations that really ain't as serious as it sounds.
You know,
because, I mean, you know, people fight. You know, me and my wife, we have arguments. It's everybody who may have some kind of argument. So, you know what I'm saying? And it may be to the kids, it may sound, you know, kind of to the kids and other people, it may sound kind of crazy. And so what we'll do is get our situation handled, we'll go back and tell the kids, hey, you know, it was just an issue that we had and blah, 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 but, you know, whatever was said or whatever, you know, it don't need to leave the house. Because the thing is, like, you know, like you say, we may get over it, but other people don't.
Right.
And if they don't, and then they go back and tell somebody else, and then they go back and tell somebody else. I mean, just like when you was in school, everybody did this little, you know, and I'm sure y'all, I know y'all did it too, to where then the teacher saw the secret on one side of the classroom by the time you get to the other side, is the story.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it is, you know, it's certain situations that, hey, man, whatever go on in here, stay in here. You know what I'm saying? And, it, and you know, and but it's going to be some time they're going to have to go get help. Everybody has to have that. To me, I feel like everybody has to have an outlet outside the home to talk to about certain situations. And, and you know, and I got people that I grew up with that I know, you know, when we talk, we talk. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like if I tell you, if I come to you and talk to you, and then I hear it back, then we weren't friends anyway. You know what I'm saying? Because the bottom line is, if I'm talking to you, that means I need help with this, and this is supposed to be between me and you. You know what I'm saying? And if you mess around and go back and tell certain, then they come back to me, then I know. You know what I'm saying? Then you just wasn't the one. You know, but it is. You know, so. I don't know. It's like, I agree, but like I say it is something that, and we tell the kids, man, like it's some stuff that if you ever experience, whether it be from a, like, because I was listening to what Kenny was saying, and there's some cases, if you ever go through that, I've never been through it, you know what I'm saying? But if you ever do go through it, then you need to come to me. Or if you can't come to me, I mean, you need to go to somebody. But I try to keep an open, keep our relationship to where they can come to me. You know what I'm saying? I know, you know, so that's my thing.
You know, me, myself, my sister and I laugh a lot about the name calling that my mom used to call us, right? Mm-hmm. And even though we knew that she loved us, but I just didn't think them names were necessary to be called in. And I'll never forget, we went on a visit one time, and I I'm the one with the mouth, and I just told my mama what my children's name was, and if you find yourself that you can't call them by their name, they don't have to come here to visit. And I actually meant that because I just didn't feel that my kids could accept what, could take what we took back then that might affect them. And I didn't want that to happen. And those were my children. And if I didn't protect them, then no one would protect them. So I just put it out there and I told her just like that. I said, you know, Mom, I say, don't ever call my kids the names that you called us. I say, because my kids might not be able to take it. And I say, and if you find yourself that you cannot call them, and I name each one of them name, I say, you let me know now, because they don't have to come here to visit. And I really meant that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I think you know, that's part of being a good parent. Whatever that situation is, that you know that has happened to your child, if it has happened to your child, you know, you go get that child help. When we talk about if we're going to keep this right in the house, don't do that. Don't ever do that. But if it's a situation like the young man was saying just now, you know, me and my wife be fussing, you know, you don't need to run out here and tell Tom, Dick, and Harry, my mom and dad in the house when they doing this. And I think it's a good thing after that happens, you guys sit down and you talk to your kids and you let them know. Then when a couple show those children that they love each other, you know, argument ain't going to bother them, not like you think it is. It's not going to bother them because they already know. It's love here.
Yeah.
So every couple is going to have a disagreement every now and then. And if one don't, please tell, let me say something wrong with them.
Absolutely. Now, hey y'all, I wanted to share something with y'all, and it's crazy how this happened because it just came out of the blue yesterday. We was talking to our oldest son Jeremiah, and he said that he was at school, and the teacher did like this census, like this consensus or something like that. You know, just trying to see by show of hands. So he said, "How many of y'all get spankings?" Whippings. Jeremiah said all the kids look around at each other, you know, they were like, man, should I say something? Should I not say something? And sometimes, you know, y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, me, I believe in the kid getting disciplined. I believe in the kid, you know, sometimes getting a spanking. And, you know, there are state laws now. Now, what I say is, you know, you make sure you don't violate them state laws. I know here in the state of Virginia, if you spank a kid on the butt or, if you spank a kid and it leaves a mark for more than, I think it's 3 hours or something like that, or 5 hours, uh-huh, then that's considered abuse, right?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, yeah, there are some states where allow you to pop a child on his or her bottom with an open hand only, you know. And you think about that. You're trying to do this to a kid that's solid, and you pop him in your hand hurt, and you're like, Lord, Jesus. You know? But I told him, I said, son, I said, you got to be careful with stuff like that. I said, because if we disciplining you, or we disciplining your brother and sister, I said, when we pop y'all, we're going to pop you on your tush, on your bottom. You know what I'm saying? That's where we pop you at. But me, I honestly believe the whippings I received back in the day, had I said anything about it, I would have been in the house of my mama no more. Because I used to get the business. You feel what I'm saying? So I said, son, be careful about that. I said, because you can't go around telling everybody that. That's one of them things where kids got to understand. Not just parents, but I think America should just look at it and understand that kids sometimes get out of control where they have to get a spanking sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. And parents should be allowed to spank the kids, but at the same time, they shouldn't go over the top. And then when they go over the top, that's when things like that should be reported. But, I mean, if a kid gets a spanking, you know what I'm saying, and they get a pop on the butt, the kid shouldn't just be just willfully just divulging this information. And the teacher asked me, and this thing, you know, now CPS at your door. I'm like, yeah, we got word, and you know what I'm saying, of your child getting a spanking. And you're like, what? You're telling me I can't spank my child? Well, here, you taking me, you raising him. You know, that's what most families used to do back in the day. Well, I tell you what, I give you a number to call CPS. Here, the number is right here. Call.
Yeah.
I tell you.
Yep.
That's how they were back then.
I whooped Auntie up. I told her, but when I was whooping her, when I got ready to throw that other whoop right now, she threw her hand in the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it was bleeding. And I didn't know it was bleeding.
Yeah.
And this morning when we was in the car going to school, she talked about, Grandmama, if anybody asks me what happened to me, I'm just telling them I accidentally cut myself.
That's one of them. You shouldn't put your hands in
the way. That's what I told her. I said, but you know what? If anybody asks you what happened to them, you can tell them you got a whooping, and they can call whoever they want to, because I'm going to jail, mm-hmm, telling them I'm going to whoop your behind again.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, you know, when we say, okay, what goes on in this house stays in this house. And then in the situation like that where Jeremiah's teacher was asking, and then he followed up with, you know, after the kids slowly raised their hands, because I don't think they were so much as concerned about telling the teacher as they were, you know, feeling embarrassed with the other kids. But he said about eight kids raised their hand, and then the teacher responded with, yeah, you can tell.
Right.
Wow. You know, and so, you know, his intention wasn't bad. But, you know, with that, it does kind of cause, like, it can cause confusion, because if we're saying, okay, you better always tell the truth, you know, you better tell the truth, and then the teacher comes and like, you know, how many of y'all get whoopings?
Yeah.
It's just like, you better not tell nobody. You know, then that leaves the child confused. Like, am I supposed to say it? Am I, you know, not to? So it can sometimes, you know, send two messages. But I wanted to go back. First of all, I want to say, Faye, what you brought up about the name calling, like, that would be a great just topic or last few minutes of the show just to talk about that in itself. That's what I was telling Kenny when you were talking. But we'll go back to that. But I want to go way back to when Kenny was talking, and he was talking about the Young and the Restless and stuff. I haven't watched them in years. But I do look at the have and the have-nots. I haven't been really catching up on it as much. But, you know, in that, the one of the primary, you know, primary family, you know, they're one of them anyway, you know, they're rich or whatever, and they had a son, they have a son, they had a daughter which ended up committing suicide, and the son, you know, ended up hitting the maid's son when he was drunk, you know, drinking and driving and all of this. And so they were doing whatever they could do to cover it up, but their son... he's an alcoholic because they, you know, it was like all the, these years it has been, he was molested at camp and, you know, so he was never allowed to deal with those things like he should have. The daughter, like I said, she ended up committing suicide. She felt like they were telling her what to do, even though she did have a counselor. But, you know, if you look at it, like they're really, kids are, had some major issues. Well, now they're supposed to be thinking something about the girl was killed last time I heard. But as far as I know, she was supposed to commit suicide at first. That's what they were saying. But my point is they have all of these issues, but they were trying to cover up things to protect their name.
Yeah.
You know, just trying to protect their name. And that is, you know, going back to what Kenny was saying at first, that is part of the problem. So I guess we have to also look at what are our intentions when we're saying that. And then I know for me, you know, not just about the kids, also for us as the adults in the house, you know, because we also use that, we go by that same rule in a lot of things. However, there are some things that, you know, we just need to talk to people about. And I know for me, I decide who I tell certain things because you just can't tell everybody everything. But I think it's important to, you know, to have that person, you know, like Doe was saying, he talked to some, you know, he get his friends and they talk. But I thank God that I do have trustworthy and sincere friends, genuine friends that I can go to and share those, you know, those intimate issues that I have, and I don't have to worry about it coming back up, or I don't have to worry about those things. And so, you know, I do, I thank God for that, because we too, when we, you know, in marriages, because with Kenny and the undiagnosed, you know, PTSD symptoms, I'll say that, you know, that was something that I went through for a while and I didn't really talk to anybody about. And that thing was, it was hard. And so when I did begin to open up and really, you know, for people to actually start believing me, that helped me so much more than just dealing with it by myself because, you know, this is happening in our family or whatever. But we need that outlet, you know, as well as the children, and sometimes we ourselves don't talk to people. So we've done that as children, and then we grow up and we bring this into our families as adults, and we're still causing problems. We're still dealing with, you know, we're just compounding issues that we already have, in my opinion.
Man. Wow.
So what do you guys think about when we become adults? When we become adults, what do you all think about then talking about things that happened when you were children? Writing a book, some people is writing a book, some people is, you know, what do you think about? If someone says, you know, this happened in my family when I was growing up, this is my story, and I'm going to write a book. For me, I'll just put it on out there. I'm going to write a book. Growing up, and my brother can attest to this, I was rejected by my sisters. And that affected me in ways that I wasn't aware. And so I am going to write a book. It's going to be an inspirational book. Kenny, don't look at me crazy because I said that. Okay. It's going to be a motivational twist on it, but that's my story. You know, that's my I can say that. This is, I can say that if I want to. That's my story. So how do you guys feel about that? How do you think? What are your thoughts on that?
As I got old enough to graduate to the grown-up table, so to speak, you know, it brought a level of clarity about some things that I always wondered about as a kid. You know, it's can y'all hear me?
We hear you, Keto. Go ahead.
Okay. It brought a level of clarity to a bunch of things that that I wasn't sure about, you know, when I was a kid. You know, like you know, and then I was made privy to information that I wouldn't have been as a kid, you know, and then also me and my sisters, we talked about a lot of stuff that we saw growing up, you know, now that we were older and wiser. You know, we kind of put two and two in a lot of things that we weren't sure about when we were kids. So I think there is some good that comes to talking about some of the things that as you're an adult, you know, because I'm sure there's things that happen in every family, and as a kid you're like, why is this going on? You know, and you have no clue.
Right.
But, you know, it's just information that you wouldn't be ready to receive as a child. But now that you're an adult, you know, and you receive that same information, you'll process it a lot differently than you would have if you were 8, 9, 10 years old.
Right. I agree. Anybody else? I agree, Keto.
As a child, that I wasn't proud of, but I had to do it because my mom made us do it. And, you know, back in the day growing up, you know, you had what you call bootleggers, and my mom was a bootlegger. And the men would go out and work. And that's the money that them women would send us to college on. But I didn't appreciate having to sell a sip of drink or a half a pipe to nobody. And I just said, you know, as I was growing up, I would never be in a situation where I would be doing this. You know, I didn't want to have that type of life. Not that my life was, you know, ugly or bad or nothing like that, but I just didn't want to be a part of stuff that was illegal. And once I got out, you know, I told my mom how I felt about that. I didn't like that, but that was something she made my sister and I do. And I just didn't like that coming up, but I do understand why I had to do it, but that didn't make me grow up to say that this is what I wanted to do. And it was many, many people in the family that was bootleggers. But I look at that as those generational curses. But I wasn't going to be that person. I just wasn't going to – that's not who I was going to be. And I just didn't like that coming up. And, you know, we mentioned being causing – I didn't like none of that stuff. But I wasn't going to let it mess with me mentally because I felt that in my mind I was just stronger than that.
So you made a decision to change it.
I just made a decision that I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah,
I wasn't
going to change this. Yes.
You know, I wanted a good job. I wanted a good paying job. That's how I wanted to earn my money. And that's what I did. I mean, that's just not who I were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as we grow older, there are decisions that we can make on our own. And I know a young man right now that his mom was killed when he was a little boy, and he was saying that he don't even know who his father is. But I look at him as a grown man now trying to be the best father that he could be, and he is a great father, but he also is looking for love because he never been loved, and he's looking for that. And I understand, and you know, some people might want to say he's a hater or he's always bragging on himself, but he just seeking attention. He's just looking for that love, And I just, you know, I just thank God I was never raised up, you know, where I did not know that I wasn't loved, because I've always known that I was loved. But it was just certain things that did go on that my family was not perfect at. And I just wasn't going to let it affect me.
All right. Yeah, and sometimes we have to do that, you know, make a decision. Doe, you were about to say something. Did you have something? Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, man, I think, you know, I mean, like, now that I'm grown, I look at stuff a little different. You know, so I can understand, like, if people were to, you know, like, I think when you grow up and you mature, you can really see things for what it was. You know what I'm saying? You can see things a little bit better. And so, you know, there are some things that may have affected you. Like I know how you know, like, in your case, for instance, you know, I mean, like, our sister's not really accepting us, really. It affected you. You know what I'm saying? It don't affect me, but on me. You know what I'm saying? But I can understand how it would affect you. So I think you should write the book. You know what I'm saying? And it goes for anybody. You know, if they got something going on, if they had something going on growing up, and they, you know, they got problems, then I think they should, you know, be able to address it. If they're strong enough, because, you know, by this time, hopefully, maybe they got some help to where they may need to get that out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think when you get older, man, and you know, it's stuff that went on when we was younger that you know, I look back on, you know, it may have affected me. Like, you know, my relationship with my brother, a lot of people I know didn't even know I had a brother. And I've been on ECAT 20, 30 years because we didn't really have that relationship. And some of that's my fault, you know what I'm saying? Even though he was a big brother, it was times where I would walk past his house and he'd be outside and I'd not stop. You know what I'm saying? But, I it's just like, you know, some stuff that I think everybody went through when they was a kid, you know, if they can grow up and get it out, then I think they should. You know what I'm saying? Because I look back and it was some stuff, you know, like our dad was there for providing, but for the emotional side of it, I never saw it. You know what I'm saying? When stuff went on, you know what I'm saying? We didn't, he was just straight to the point, or he really didn't say too much, you know what I'm saying? Like, if we got in trouble, he'll sit out of pocket, he'll give us that long speech. But when it comes to, like, emotions, I mean, I really never, like, I mean, honestly, it was like 5 years ago before I really heard him tell me he loved me, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, and I find myself, you know what I'm saying, like, my wife always tell me all the time, I really don't show emotions, I'm a little too hard, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, that may have something to do with it, I don't know, but, you know, I could always have been a person that really don't care about too much, you like it or you don't. So I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying, with my kids, I'm trying to be a little bit more open, even though it may seem hard, but, you know, I try to show them a little bit more than what I got from my dad. He was there, but it was some stuff, you know what I'm saying, like, I wish at a certain point when he seen me going left, teasing, you know, he would have just said, hey, man, you might not need to be hanging out around there, or why you wearing blue all the time? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was certain things I think had he done when I was coming up, it may would have changed the outcome, or, you know what I'm saying? Because he never did just grab me and say, hey, man, you know you don't need to be hanging out there, or I know you smoking weed, or I know you gang banging because you wearing blue all the time. I mean, he stayed by Scotland Heights. So, and I hung in Scotland Heights and Greenbrier, so he knew, I'm pretty sure he knew we were Crips out there and I was hanging with the Crips, you know what I'm saying? But he never really just pulled me to the side and said, hey, you need to, you know what I'm saying, you need to go this way instead of that way, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, he showed me how to be a man. He showed me how to provide, how to take care of family, my family, but he never really did, you know, pull me like that. So I think, you know, when you tell people that got some stuff built up that, you know, once they get older, they may need to just have that out there. They need to write a book or write a blog or, you know what I'm saying, just to get it out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
I completely agree, though, and you're right, you know, that my dad was great. You know, he has been there. But you're right, we did miss that emotional part. And I didn't really know what, you know, I really had never heard of like a, well, I'm not going to say I heard of it, but I didn't realize the, what am I trying to say? I guess now looking back, I see that I had friends that were daddy's girls. But growing up, like, that was kind of foreign to me because that's not what I was. It didn't really become something that was, you know, familiar to me until I moved to Texas and I met, like, Kyra, you know. And I started meeting people that were daddy's girls. And then that's when that term just, you know, when I was open to that, because that's not what I was familiar with. And like I said, now I can look back and see some friends I had. Well, okay, they were, but it's kind of like a, you know, the hindsight is 2020 type deal. And so those things do affect you. They do affect the way we grow up. They affect the relationships that we get in. And they are things that we need to talk about when we become adults, you know, and be comfortable, even though it's an uncomfortable conversation, but we need to find a place of being comfortable and saying, hey, this is what happened. This is how this affected me, even though I'm not holding it in. I'm not holding it against you. I love you. I know you did, you know, you were there, da-da-da, and I mean for anybody. But this is what happened. I was affected by that, and then we move forward.
You know, I'm enjoying everything that everybody's saying. But what I found, what I've come to realize over my, you know, 37 years of being on this earth is not everybody has that voice. And sometimes what it takes is a strong, courageous person to come forth and tell about something that's happened in their family, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, in order for somebody else to come. I mean, it could be somebody of another nationality that just might be like, you know what, they found their peace and their serenity in this. Let me go ahead and talk about my story, because I've been dealing with these things forever. So I got somebody that's on the same sheet of music with me that feels and can relate to what I'm going through right now at the current moment. So if they can do it and they can be strong and courageous, then I'm going to do it. And I think that's really, honestly, I think it's positive influence. But, you know, nowadays in our society, you have people, and I'm going to just digress, but I'm trying to bring it back to the point at hand about having a voice. Okay, that was this African-American teacher that greets his children, the kids every morning that come into class, you know, the little cool daps and stuff. And then there was a Caucasian lady that came back, and she did the same thing. And the first thing that was thrown out there was, wow, black people can't have nothing. Somebody always trying to come and steal what we do. But it went about that. I think what was important and what made me excited about both videos, because I watched both of them, is the simple fact that somebody took something that was creative and positive, and yeah, they used it to build rapport with their kids, to get them a learning environment that was peaceful, and they could see that their teacher's down to earth. Because, you know, most of the time when a kid goes in there and they have this authoritarian teacher that just, you know, is my way or the highway style of teaching, the kids don't want to learn, because first thing, they're scared to ask the questions, right? Or they're scared to come and talk to them about things, him or her, about things that are going on in the home front, you know, because they like, she might beat me down like I'm already getting beat down at home, or he might beat me down like I'm already getting beat down at home verbally. But just anyway, just to reel it back in and to come back on the path of what we're talking about family business, I think it's important that we as adults encourage, you know, our kids to be able to talk to us about things, you know, and, but there are things that should stay in the house, i.e. like if mom and dad are expecting a baby or and mom and dad don't want anybody to know at the moment, you know, because it could have been it could have been complex things that happened to where, you know, in our situation, you know, we lost our twin girls when my wife was 6 months. But at the time, you know, and then, you know, there's some women that just deal with having miscarriage and they really can't hold babies past, you know, the trimester, the first trimester, right? So instead of telling and getting everybody excited and they wind up losing the baby, some parents or some women and men feel like, you know, let's just pray to God and, you know, trust God in this first and if it's when it's our time to talk about it, then we'll tell people about it. But until then, kids don't say nothing about it. Now, in that particular moment or that particular instance, I think that's something that should definitely be up to the parents and their consent on what they want to share and divulge to the world. But, I mean, and to their friends and family. I mean, friends and family. That's just the point I wanted to make kind of back home. That sometimes it just takes that one person to be strong and courageous to be that voice for, you know, and then after that, sometimes it takes, sometimes after that happens, there's hundreds and thousands of people that have come out, and then the first thing somebody say, man, I can't have that, somebody always trying to come, so just like they did, you know, and I know this might be a weird example, but when the thing with Bill Cosby came up, one lady came out, then another lady came out, and then two or three more came out, and two or three more came out, and then the first thing everybody said was, oh, man, they just trying to get some money because that man rich. But nobody ever took time to consider that maybe this really did happen to some of these women, you know, because, I mean, but who are we to judge? Because we weren't there in the moment when it happened, you know, but some people open their mouth and the first thing they say, oh, they're just trying to get money. But what about those people feeling? What if it really did happen to them, right? Ain't nobody considering them, but that's just my point that I was trying to make.
I have a question. Thank you for saying that, Kenny, but I have a question concerning if we decide to write a book, okay? So say we do decide to write a book about, you know, our life and us growing up. Are we obligated to tell those people? So if it's siblings or like a granddaddy or a parent we never knew and we're getting ready to write about them, are we obligated to say, I just want you to know I'm writing a book about my life, you know, I want you to know before I put it out there. And I'm talking about whether you have a relationship with that person or not. Are you obligated to tell them before you put everything out there like that?
I'll give you my opinion.
I don't think you're obligated, but I mean,
if I got a relationship with somebody
and they're going to be in the book, you know what I'm saying? Especially, you know, if we on good terms like that, or even bad terms. If I got a relationship with them, you ain't obligated to do nothing. Because the thing about it is, if they don't like it, they just don't like it. That don't matter anyway. Because that's your story to tell. You know what I'm saying? And if they don't like it, then it is what it is. I mean, ain't nothing they can do about it. But me personally, if I was to do it, just out of common courtesy, I probably would let them know. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, do I have to? Nah. This just might be the way I look at stuff. What you going to do about it if I do put it out there? It ain't like I'm lying on you. So, I mean, either you're going to like it or you don't. Either way, you're going to eat it. You know what I'm saying? Because you ain't like you're going to make me take the book back. You know what I'm saying? Or do nothing about it. I mean, because I'm still me, so. You ain't obligated to do nothing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's just how I look at it. You ain't obligated, but out of common courtesy, if I was doing it, then I'd probably sit down and tell them, you know, I'm writing a book, you know, and this, and it's gonna be that we went through, that it's gonna be in the book. You know, I just want to let you know. And honestly, if you want to read the first topic, then.
Right. And my reason for asking that is because what if your perception or what you thought, you know, you know, what if you were wrong? What if that person didn't talk to you because someone lied to them concerning you? And but you're putting out your story and what you know, but it may not be true. It may be miscommunication. It may be perception. You know, so I'm saying, like, you know, it's my, you know, like, talking and speaking out or whatever. I definitely agree because I, you know, I plan to write one too, but it's just something that popped in my mind. Like, well, if we're writing a book, we're putting it out there. What if it wasn't really like that? So are we, you know, should we say something, you know, say, hey, like, and like you said, though, you would like, you know, let them read the first copy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it'll still go forth. It's not like I ain't going to do it or whatever, but I mean, it's just something kind of to consider, you know, should you say something, let them know, you know, and then that may open up a door, you know, for you to kind of get some things straight that maybe you thought the whole time, you know, 30 years you've been thinking this thing and you were wrong.
You know what? My opinion on that, if you don't mind, is that I'm like the young man, you're not obligated to do anything, but if you want to do it, then you do it. But 10 out of 10, when you're writing a book about your life, it's just like it happened because you got some embarrassing moments in there.
Right.
And you're not going to set yourself up for embarrassment to tell a lie on someone else. You're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, because I'm going to write one myself, you know, I plan on doing that about my life because I do have a story to tell. And you know, I just feel that the reason I want to write a book is because I want to inspire someone else,
right?
That might be going through what I need to go through, and to let them know that it's okay. And when you're doing things with the right mindset and your heart is right about doing it, you do it. I can't help if Joe Blow get mad about what I wrote, but I'm writing the truth. I'm writing what happened to me. I'm writing about what went on in my life, things that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying on nobody. Now, if I find myself where, if I was in that situation where I had to be, I just want to write a book because I just want to do this some attention.
Right.
You're going to add all that stuff. But when you're going and doing stuff with the right mindset and your heart is right about it and you're looking to inspire and to give someone else that inspiration and let them know, even though you're going through this, you can make it to there. And there's nothing wrong with that. But your question was obligation. I'm not obligated to nobody but God. And that's the way I feel about that.
Amen.
Kyra, it's funny because when Doe, I was getting ready to say something before Doe said it, and so when Doe was talking, Doe, when you were talking, Kenny was laughing. He was like, that's you right there. That's how you think. That's how you think. And he's right. I just would have probably said it a little softer, but yeah. but I was actually going to also use the word common courtesy for me. Not out of obligation, but out of common courtesy. I will, you know, tell before I write my book. But, you know, we were having a conversation with Jeremiah last night. Well, him and Kenny more so were having a heart-to-heart. I just kind of came in a little bit. But what I was telling him, you know, as Kenny was asking him questions about different things, and I was saying, you know, Jeremiah, you tell your feelings because that is your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we don't see it that way, but that is your truth. You know, that's how you see it. That's how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
You open up. You say what you have to say because that is your truth. And I think that's the thing, you know, that we have to realize when we are. Now, there are some things that's just, you know, there's no denying. Like, you just can't, there's just no stuff you just can't deny. And if you try to deny it, everybody know they lying. You know,
right.
You know, and then that's another aspect of that, because like our grandmother, our dad's mother, my brothers and brother and our grandmother, she never accepted us. That's mm-hmm. what it was. We mm-hmm. have our thoughts as to why, but because she right. never took the time to actually tell us why, then we only mm-hmm. have assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fact is that she didn't spend no time with us. She was never there. She wasn't a grandmother
right.
to us. Those are just facts that nobody
exactly.
nobody mm-hmm. can come and say that it's not true. You can't do that. However, the reasoning, we can only assume, you
right.
know. So
exactly.
we have to look at it that way, too. You know, you had a fax, and you got, you know, the other things that may
exactly.
be wrong. You know, like you think about the 30 years, you know, maybe they did, you know, the person may focus on the fact that they didn't talk to me for 30 years. They may not know why.
Right.
But the fact of the
right.
matter is they didn't talk to me for 30 years. And I will
right.
say this for everybody that's writing y'all book, if y'all don't go talk to them people, y'all make sure y'all, even if you do, y'all change people's names.
Right.
That's what I was going
to
say. I was going to say the same thing. You change names, and that way if something is wrong, you know what I mean. Well, they ain't gonna be too mad because you know what I mean. They ain't put my real. It's not like they put my real name in there, you know, or like
right.
people all over the world ain't gonna. Yeah, you know. So I definitely, even if you use like a true story, or I wouldn't even label it as nonfiction. You know what I mean? It could be a fiction story for all I know. I could be making this up, but meanwhile, it's my life.
Right.
But
people do it that way as well. They do. They write it as a fiction, but it's their story, and people don't know, you know. And they, but they write it in that way. So you can do it that way also, you know, because I think the purpose, a lot of times, for us to write books, well, we do want to inspire other people, but a lot of times when you're writing about your life, those things, it's therapy for you, and you know it's helping you and it's helping the other people. But I think in order to help other people, we definitely have to allow things to help us first. That's just my opinion, you know. That's just how
well,
I feel
about it.
When
you get ready to write a book about your life, you should, and this is just my thought, okay, just my thought. When one get ready to write a book about their life, they have overcome what they had to go through. And that should inspire them to write that book about them to help another person. If it's just one person, you know, just help another. But in my case, I'm over what I've been through. And I give nobody thanks to that but God.
Right. Amen. Amen.
You know, and I'm able to, and I know, and with me, I know I should have lost my mind a long time ago, but God said, no, I'm going to keep you in your right mind.
Amen.
You're going to be okay. So I still had to go through that as being a piece of the flesh. I still had to go through what I went through, and things wasn't easy for me, but I made it. And I just want to go through not just the loss of my children, but from the age I turned at, I entered into an all-white school, being the first black. I want to go from there and go all the way up to right now. I want
right.
to tell that story. And things that happened in between that, I want to tell that story. I really
mm-hmm.
do.
And
I don't need to inspire me, because I have been mm-hmm. inspired, and I have other people that yet continue to give me that inspiration and that encouragement. But I just find myself where I'm at now. I love to be a blessing to someone else. Because everything wasn't easy for me. Somebody had to help me.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Amen. And that's great, Faye, that you have gotten to that place. And I think I'm in that place in some areas, you know, not every area, you know, but for some people when they write the book, it is therapy for them. And sometimes, you know,
right.
people, they, you know, may think they've gotten, you know, there and then they go in and write the book and it brings up old things and then it does help
yeah.
them to get, mm-hmm. you know, what okay. they really thought they, you know, were or, you know, so it's, I think it's different for everybody. That's what I think. I think it's different mm-hmm. for everybody.
You know, I had to even question myself because sometimes I still find myself weeping over my children. But I only do that like Mother's Day, their birthdays, the day that they got the day that they died, and Christmas. And I have to go into my little moment, and I'm like, Lord, is I'm grieving? What's going on with me? But, you know, it just came to me, you know, when God saw Jesus up on that cross, He felt some kind of way too. So that was just my human feelings of me missing my children. But I'm good with the death, but I still miss them.
Right.
But that don't stop me from living. I can still continue to live.
That's right.
And I can still go on with a smile on my face every day. I mean, my heart don't hurt like it did back then because I got a clear understanding, you know, of what I've gone through and why I've gone through it. So I'm good, but yeah, sometimes I have my moments.
Right,
and that is being a great mother. You know, I was a good mother, and I love my children, and yeah, I miss them. But I can still continue to live.
Amen.
And that is, I believe that that's just normal. Say, you know, I haven't gone through what you've gone through as far as, you know, losing your kids at, you know, adult ages and everything. But I can speak just from, you know, losing the twins because that was, and not that I don't think about the babies that I miscarried, but the twins, that was really the hardest loss, you know, they were the hardest loss for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I completely understand what you were saying. I was just actually having this conversation the other day with a young lady, and it does get easier, and your tears do come from a different place. I don't know if they ever really just stop. You know, there are times they're going to come up when you're going to cry, but you know they do come from a different place, and it is a place of healing, and I think that's normal. You know, I would think that. That's what I think. I think that's normal. You know, those were your babies. Those were your babies. So that I, you know, definitely.
And I wish so much, and I constantly ask God to continue to show me how to do this. You know, you have some mothers that go out to the cemetery, they just lay on the grave and they just be weep. I just can't do that. I can't do that. Because I'm okay. And I want them to be okay. I want them to have that understanding and knowledge. You know, I want to be able to give that to them. And I constantly ask God to continue to show me how to do that. And in some cases, you know, people say, you know, you've been a great help to me. But I just want when a child is lost, it's okay to feel that way. But also have that understanding and knowledge that you got to continue to live. Does that make any sense?
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think we have to take that mentality in. More, you know, in a lot of things that we go through in life. My husband and I were just having this conversation, actually, on yesterday. And we can, you know, this is something that we tell Jeremiah. I was even talking to him this morning. You know, everybody knows we're very open with the fact that God allowed us that he blessed us to adopt Jeremiah. And he's 10, you know, going on 11. So he goes through his moments, you know, wondering about his family and things like that. So, you know, we were just having this conversation. I was talking to him this morning and telling him, you know, pretty much the same thing. I don't know what it's like to be adopted. However, I know that all of us go through something, and we cannot allow those things to determine our happiness. We can't allow those things, you know, to keep us from moving forward. And, you know, we have to sit, you know, we talk about our feelings, and, you know, I told him, you let us know when you're ready to talk to somebody. And so he told me today he's ready to talk to somebody. He's ready to talk to his godmama. That's what he said. That's what he wants to talk to. That's what he wants to counsel him. And, you know, so I told him I was fine with that. That was great. And, you know, so I'm going to get with her so we can set up some sessions. But, you know, it's just so that he can get those feelings out, go ahead and talk about it. However, at the same time, you know that you still continue to move forward. And so we have to use that. We have to know that, I think, in all things, you know, that we go through. Because we just do. Because really is a choice. We have the choice to move forward. We have the choice to do that. Okay, so.
Cool.
Lily, you have something to say, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, because I seen this happen with someone, and they were so excited, and they were giving a testimony and saying how, you know, they got up and said, you know, I'm so happy God blessed me to get through a situation I had gone through when I was younger. I was raped and I was molested, and God helped me to come through it. And then I thank God because he allowed me to talk to another woman and help her be able to talk about her situation. And then she said the woman's name and said, you know, and said, okay, you know, God is truly blessing her that she was able to talk about this with me. And I thought, you know, I think, you know, it's good to be able to tell your story, but don't forget somebody else may not be where you're at, especially if they've opened up to you and told you their story. You know, it may be just for you and them at that moment in time, you know, and they're sharing this with you, but don't get so excited about your progress that you knock somebody else back down. So, and I thought about that when she was asking the question about the book and what you can say. And I think that as long as it's your story, then you have the right, you have the copyright to tell this. You know, you own that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you involve somebody else and who may be a victim, then, you know, that's something totally different, you know, when you're getting their permission. But if it's somebody who has victimized you, hey, you know what? Do what you do. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, but don't victimize somebody else in the process.
Exactly.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, that was good. That was real good because I've seen that happen too. that was good, Lily. Well, this has been a great show. Another great topic. You guys, please keep coming with the topic suggestions. I'm loving it. Everybody, keep in mind that we will be moving to Georgia. Kenny will be going to Korea. So I do need guest hosts. I'm going to keep on saying it and saying it and saying it. Yep, and I only have one person thus far who has offered to be my guest host, to help me.
Wow.
So you guys think about it, pray on it, you know, all that good stuff. But yes, we definitely want to keep this going. I ask you guys to go like our Facebook page, Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I posted a new blog on Hearts Inspire. It's been a month, and I posted a new blog today. So I ask that you guys go check that out. Let me know what you think.
Yeah.
Today was Wear Red Day because of, you know, people with cardiovascular problems. So make sure you guys get your hearts checked. Make sure you get your hearts checked on a regular basis. You start feeling anything, heart rate up, feeling all kinds of stuff, you guys make sure you get that checked out. And let's make sure we take care of ourselves.
Amen.
And that is I have. Baby, did you have it?
No, to have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. And you guys enjoy Super Bowl Sunday.
Go Falcons.
Yes.
Falcons.
Yes. Falcons. Falcons.
Rise up.
That's right, Falcons.
Rise up.
Well, y'all have a good weekend.
Good night.
Good night.